Protests continued across Wisconsin over the weekend and around the country after the death of George Floyd. For the next half hour, we're going to talk to journalists who are on the ground covering the protests this weekend, starting with a look at what happened in Madison. Bridget Bowden is WPR Special Projects reporter. She was out Saturday reporting on the protests. Bridget, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it sounds in some ways, Bridget, like there were almost two protests. Can you start us off with the daytime protests on Saturday?
Definitely. That's definitely how I would describe it. So the first protest was a planned demonstration that started about noon at the Capitol, and it was attended by a lot of people. The estimate was about 2,000 people showed up for that, and it was a march. The group marched from the Capitol on to the Dane County Jail, and then on to the house on Williamson Street, where Tony Robinson, a black teenager, was shot by a Madison police officer in 2015. And then they marched back to the Capitol. So that happened during the day.
And you spoke to protesters, some of them, about why they were out on Saturday. Here's what one of them, Kendra Odell, had to say.
We're trying to make a statement that we as citizens of this country in Madison will not stand for police brutality or racism, and we are here to protest all of the violence that has occurred in this country towards people of color.
What else did you hear from some of the protesters who were out during the daytime on Saturday, Bridget?
Right. So I think that the most important thing that I heard from protesters had actually to do, in addition to, you know, a racial justice, also the COVID-19 pandemic, because the organizers of the march were very adamant that everyone wear masks. I saw volunteers handing out masks. And I talked to some protesters about why they felt it was important to come out and, you know, be part of a crowd of 2,000 people at a time when, you know, we're supposed to be socially distant. And the overwhelming answer that I got to that question was just that they feel like this is an important moment. It's an important thing for them to fight for. So to most of the protesters I talked to, it was worth the risk to stand up for what they believe in.
And then that protest, as you're saying, wound down, right?
For the most part, yes. Like, as I said, they marched back to the Capitol, at which point it started to disperse. I actually went home and filed my first story, thinking that the day's activities were through.
And then what happened as the evening started to continue on?
So there were still people who remained in the Capitol and State Street area. I wasn't there to see when this started, so I can't necessarily tell you what happened first or anything like that. But at some point, people who were gathered on State Street began smashing in windows on State Street. And at some point, police in riot gear came out and were using tear gas and pepper spray. And so protesters and police engaged in sort of a standoff throughout the night, throughout the State Street area. There was lots of tear gas that was deployed at various points. Lines of officers in riot gear blocked the cross streets of State Street at various points throughout the night. There was also pepper spray deployed. And then that gathering wound down about midnight.
And can you talk, as we wrap up, Bridget, about how city leaders responded to the events?
Right. So Madison Mayor Seth Rose Conway had a press conference earlier in the evening where she had addressed the peaceful protest earlier in the day. And then later that night, after some of the more chaotic events had happened, she announced that there would be a curfew implemented. And so that curfew actually was in place last night. That's a curfew of 9:30 p.m.
Bridget, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's WPR's Bridget Bowden, based in Madison. Now we'll turn to protests in Appleton over the weekend. Natalie Brophy covers breaking news for the Appleton Post-Crescent. Natalie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, can you tell us some of what happened in these protests in Appleton this weekend?
So on Saturday, there's a protest that started around 2 p.m. in downtown Appleton. I would say there's about 1,000 people there, and they marched from pretty much the down College Avenue in the downtown area, and they got to Houdini Plaza in Appleton, and for about an hour and a half, you know, the crowd gathered, made some speeches, and people spoke, told their stories, shared, you know, their fears and worries about being Black in America. And, you know, the crowd there was very racially diverse, people of all ages. Some people had, you know, brought their children and that kind of stuff. And then after some of the speeches, the crowd made its way down to the police department, marched around the police department, and then up and down the avenue again back to the plaza. And that's about when it ended, around 5 p.m. And I would say in comparison to, you know, some other protests in areas of the state and around the country, that, you know, the protest Saturday in Appleton was totally peaceful. There was no, you know, violence or looting, property destruction, no, you know, interaction with police. It was, you know, very peaceful protest.
And in an earlier piece, Natalie, you talked about the response to the incident in Minneapolis from Appleton's police chief. What kind of things did we hear?
Yeah, our police chief, he, you know, basically just expressed that he felt, you know, angry and anger and fear and frustration when he saw what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis, and that typically, as a police officer, he would not comment on something like that until, you know, all of the evidence was, you know, out there and everything was investigated. But basically seeing what he saw in the video, he, you know, as a police officer knew that, you know, that wasn't right. And that's not something an officer should have done. And he took the time to explain the Appleton Police Department's use of force policy, and what goes into that, and how officers who do use force are, you know, monitored, and how use of force incidents are reviewed in the city of Appleton. That was kind of his response to what had happened in Minneapolis.
And getting back to the protests in Appleton over the weekend, what did you hear from individual people who you talked to about why they had shown up this weekend?
Mm-hmm. You know, a response from a lot of people was just that they're scared and they're tired of seeing incidents like what happened with George Floyd and an innocent person being killed by a police officer. And that's not the kind of country they want to live in. And they, you know, they came out to hear other people's stories, to share their own stories, and, you know, to try to, you know, be a part of making a change.
And Natalie, before we let you go, I know in some cities protests are ongoing day by day, or maybe they're planning ones week to week. Do you know of any future plans for protests in the Appleton area?
Yes, I believe there is one tonight, this afternoon around 5 p.m. In the downtown area. I don't have too many details about that, but I believe tonight at 5 p.m. there's something else planned.
Natalie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much.
That's Natalie Brophy with the Appleton Post-Crescent. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation about protests across Wisconsin this weekend with a look at events in Duluth and in Milwaukee. That's coming up next here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation about protests this weekend around Wisconsin over the death of George Floyd, an unarmed Black man who died after a Minneapolis police officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Robin Washington joins us now. He's host of WPR's weekly Simply Superior program. He was out covering the protest in Duluth on Saturday. Robin, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're quite welcome, Rob.
What did we see in these protests in the Twin Ports over the weekend?
We saw about 1,000 people, which in the Twin Ports is a pretty big deal. Usually it's in the hundreds or so. And in fact, the interesting point is they were also very, from observation anyway, young people. I would say 80%, at least 75% of the crowd was under 40. So that's a bit different than what we're used to.
What kind of things did you hear from people at the protest?
very strong statements, outrage. There were Kim Young of Superior, who was there, put it as, we are no longer asking, we are no longer begging, you know, we are demanding. But that being said, they were very strong, very inspirational. No real specifics, but just like to say that the police brutality against African Americans has to stop, period.
Let's give a listen to Kim Young at the rally, an elder from the group called the Superior African Heritage Community. Here's a listen.
Do black lives matter to you?
Yes!
Then you need to tear down the racist system that perpetuates the racism and systemic oppression.
And Robin, I understand there was maybe going to be a rally this month anyway. COVID-19 might have put a damper on it. But a commemoration of 100 years ago this month, a lynching that happened in Duluth back in 1920. Can you talk about that?
The triple lynching of Elias Clayton, Elmer Jackson, and Isaac McGee, three circus workers who were wrongly accused of raping a white woman and were lynched in Duluth on June 15th, 1920, the darkest moment in the city's history, really in the Twin Ports history, because it really defined the racial history of both cities since then. And so there was to be a commemoration calling for 10,000 people to come out to the site of the crime, which, by the way, now is a major memorial. Duluth is the only city that has a prominent memorial at the site of the crime of a lynching. 10,000 being the number of people who were there to perpetuate the crime. Obviously, that was called off. That would not quite be social distancing. But ironically, sadly ironically, this circumstance created another, I wouldn't say opportunity, but ended up being another sort of commemoration, if you will. And again, it started at the site, at the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial.
And was there any damage or any other of that kind of unrest that we've seen in some other cities around the country?
There was not the kind that we've seen in other cities, so that's the very good part about it. There was, after the protests, another group, or maybe the same group that moved very quickly, went to I-35 and blocked traffic for a while. But nothing serious happened that ended up dissipating. Later that night, there was a more serious incident at a Quick Trip gas station in West Duluth. There was a disturbance. An employee was, I understand from the police chief, Tuscan, substantially injured. Somebody has been arrested in that case. And last night, apparently, there were three dumpster fires. One interesting note about this, though, is that Chief Tuscan and Mayor Emily Larson both said that the perpetrators, or the people arrested, or the people responsible so far, or assumed to be responsible, are from this area, only one from Minneapolis. So that sort of goes against what you've been hearing in all kinds of places around the country where mayors and governors have said they're outsiders. In this case, Mayor Larson said, these are our people, and it means that we have to have more dialogue.
Robin, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
You're quite welcome.
That's WPR's Robin Washington, based in Superior. Now we'll turn to continued protests over the weekend in Milwaukee. Madeline Fox is a reporter for WPR based in Milwaukee. She covered the protests on Saturday. Maddie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us some of what you saw on Saturday?
Well, we've had 3 days of protests so far in Milwaukee, and Saturday was, we actually had a little bit of an interesting Friday night, very early Saturday morning, where there were some property damage, and there were some arrests made after, in the wee hours of the morning. So then Saturday during the day, around the afternoon, I want to say it was around 1:30, there was a peaceful march that began in Veterans Park over on the lakefront. And that was marching for, gosh, I think 3 or 4 hours, some demonstrating in front of the police building downtown, a lot of chanting, as you would expect, a lot of cars honking in support, but very much a protest that that was fairly was pretty low key in terms of a protest. And the only thing that really got a little dicey was that police were definitely trying to keep protesters off the interstate, which it didn't lead to any major confrontations, but it was certainly that would have been the most tense that I saw stuff get during the day on Saturday.
And I understand protesters connected the events in Minneapolis to officer-involved deaths in Milwaukee, a recent and further in the past. Can you talk about that?
That's right. So actually, I was at a protest Friday evening calling for justice in the case of Joel Acevedo, who was actually died from his injuries in April after he was restrained by an off-duty police officer named Michael Mattioli during a party at Mattioli's house. So he's Mattioli, the officer, has been charged with homicide and is on suspension. But Acevedo's family is asking for him to be fired, asking for him to be terminated from the police department. And they also want charges against two other people who were named as witnesses in the complaint that they believe were also involved in either helping Mattioli restrain Acevedo or not doing anything about it. And then there's a young man named Deontre Hamilton who died in Redfern Park, I believe in Milwaukee in 2014. And so his name also came up during these protests.
I want to give a listen to someone you spoke to over the weekend, a protester named Josiah. Here's what he said.
I've been protesting since I started going to EWM 5 years ago, and I just graduated. And I'm still protesting, like, same different day, different year.
Did you hear that sense of frustration from a lot of the people there?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly here in Milwaukee, but also I believe we're hearing it around the state and around the country that this is not a lot of people's first protest. They've been doing this for years, and they're getting really tired of not seeing meaningful changes and still seeing these deaths. I mean, to have a death in 2014 and then again just last month, people are really, 2 months ago now because it's June, people are really frustrated and just really exhausted and also feel like there's just a sense of powerlessness. And that's where I think this protest is coming from, that they're trying to make their voices heard because what they're seeing over and over, even with the protesting, is that things aren't changing.
Madeline, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's WPR's Madeline Fox in Milwaukee. Finally, we'll hear about a prayer vigil that took place in Milwaukee yesterday. Corrine Hess is a reporter for WPR in Milwaukee. Corey, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about this prayer protest in Milwaukee yesterday?
Yes, it was on the city's west side, and that's exactly what it was. It was a prayer protest. Is kind of a, not really even the right word.
Everybody vigil, was, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were calling it a protest, but it was very calm. There were about 300 people in a park that's right in the middle of the city. People were praying. There was a lot of songs sung. People were getting up and talking, but some of the speakers said that they were going to talk about times that they felt like they were the target of racism, either by police or others, but they actually didn't want to share that. They just wanted to talk about ways that that the community could be improved. So it was a lot different vibe than some of the other protests I had been to since Friday.
What were some of the things people either told you or spoke in front of people talking about ways to improve things?
Well, you know, I think I just heard Madeline talking. People are frustrated and they're sad that there hasn't been change over the years. The Deontre Hamilton incident did take place 6 years ago. And we also had the Sherman Park riots just a few years ago, and just nothing really has changed here. It's probably gotten worse. So there was a lot of frustration and sadness. And, you know, over George Floyd in Minneapolis, but just over things that have been happening in the country overall.
And as you mentioned, this wasn't the kind of angry protest or vandalism that we've seen in some cases after peaceful protests have ended. Were people at this prayer vigil talking about some of those protests that appear to have gotten out of control?
You know, they weren't. I was asking a lot of people if they've gone to other protests, and they hadn't. This was the only one that a lot of them had gone to. But I was asking what they thought of the looting and some of the property destruction, and they said that they understood. They understood people's anger, and they also understood that this is all happening in the time of the coronavirus pandemic. People, especially people of color, have really been affected by the pandemic. And also, you know, there's been job loss. And I think that the people at this prayer vigil seemed to be very understanding of some of these protests getting out of control.
And as we wrap up, Corey, were there plans for more vigils like this one in the days and weeks to come?
You know, this wasn't the only one. There were other church groups that were holding marches and vigils. So I haven't seen any others planned, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were more.
Corey, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's WPR's Corinne Hess with us today to talk about prayer vigils held yesterday in Milwaukee. She rounded out our look at protests across Wisconsin this weekend, a wide variety, as we've heard, of people and places, peaceful in some cases, less peaceful in others. You can follow the coverage from the WPR news team. They are continuing, I think as we speak, actually, to cover protests happening in different places in the state. You can follow them, find them on Twitter, but a good place to start, of course, is WPR.org/news. You can find continuing coverage of the protests, of course, and everything going on in Wisconsin. Also, head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can see news updates there as well, and then join the conversation while you're there. If you have a personal experience of one of these protests as a protester, as a police officer, as a business person who's been affected by damage, let us know. Email ideas@WPR.org.